Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
This is an early Easter. It's early, but the hour is late. The chance to awaken is so rare and so precious. Ready or not, it's time to wake up and shake it up. Rise and shine. The time of Eastering is full upon us. Setting us apart from Christianity, Unitarian Universalism is not founded on Jesus' death and resurrection. We celebrate his life, and especially his teachings. Yes, we affirm that when Jesus died, a great light went out. But we celebrate that a divine fire burned in him, and that a spark of that fire also burns in each of us. Our sacred purpose as people of faith is to breathe on that spark in our lives, and so tend the fire of our divine calling. If you look at the stained glass windows in the balconies, you will see Lewis Comfort Tiffany's illustration of these words. Jesus taught, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, so they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." For many years, Jerry Chavez worked as the pump operator in the Grand Canyon, responsible for supplying the entire South Rim with water. He was also a highly regarded member of the search and rescue team and well-loved by the park rangers. Jerry has a lot of amazing stories to tell of his years in the canyon, but there's one story he doesn't tell. The first story someone who knows him will tell you about him. One day, Jerry was working at the pumping station 4.5 miles down into the canyon when he noticed an elderly gentleman sitting off by himself, utterly dejected. Jerry approached him and asked him what was wrong. The man told him that he was 80 years old, that he had hiked from the rim that morning, but that he simply could not go any farther. His legs just wouldn't carry him the rest of the way down. He was supposed to be meeting up with a rafting trip on the Colorado River and riding the rapids for the next week to the canyon's end. "I've dreamed of doing this my entire life," he said, "and I'm just not going to make it." Jerry Chavez didn't hesitate. "Grandfather, you are going to the river. Grandfather, climb on. Let's go." And with that, he hoisted the man up onto his back and carried him down the perilously steep trail, down the twisting switchbacks of the Devil's Corkscrew, down into the inner canyon, all the way to the river, 2.5 miles down. Jerry carried him. When they arrived, Jerry radioed the rafting trip operator and said, "You have a client at Pipe Creek waiting for a pickup." And sure enough, there came the raft, and the old man got on. A few weeks later, Jerry Chavez received a letter in the mail. "Dear Jerry," it began, "I had the time of my life." Jesus taught in everything, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets." Sandy Anderson was a barista at Starbucks at North Proctor and 26th Streets in Tacoma, Washington. Anna Marie Osnes, an administrative assistant for student government at the University of Puget Sound, stopped in every day for a short drip, double-cupped coffee. Over 3 years, they made brief exchanges about the weather or a recent vacation. For much of her life, Anna Marie had lived with polycystic kidney disease. When no family members could provide a match for a transplant, dialysis and the hope of a kidney donor became her foreseeable future. Normally, Anna Marie just didn't talk about it. But the transplant coordinator handling her case said, "Anna Marie, you never know where a donor's coming from. Just keep telling people your story." Anna Marie wasn't so sure about that, but when she arrived at Starbucks one day looking grim, Sandy asked what was wrong. Sandy decided to get tested. Blood type O, check. Negative crossmatch under the microscope, check. The six elusive DNA markers, one of the six was a match, not ideal, but good enough, check. The day after the results came back, Sandy reached over the counter to Anna Marie and said, "I'm a match." The two women burst into tears. The line behind them looked on in confusion and grew very long. Sandy said, "I asked my surgeon, will I be able to snowboard afterwards?" He said, "Do you snowboard now?" I said, "No, but I'm hoping to." And so they checked into the hospital together. And Sandy Anderson gave her left kidney to Anna Marie Osnes. The operation was a success. And today, the two women are best friends. Jesus taught, "For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." In the late 1990s, Ambassador Swanee Hunt was visiting war-ravaged villages in the Balkans. In one village, there lived a very old woman. For as long as anyone could remember, she had heralded the beginning of each day by ringing the church bell, and so the day began in beauty. Her neighbors spoke of her devotion and fortitude. But the church had been bombed. Its tower lay on the ground, its bell silenced. Swanee spent the night in that village. Imagine her surprise to awaken the next morning to the somewhat muffled but nonetheless distinctive sound of the church bell. Stepping into the doorway, she saw an amazing sight. The old woman was bent over the fallen church tower. Reaching down into the bell, she lifted the clapper and released it to clang against the side of the bell. Over and over, she bent, lifted, and released. And so devotion and fortitude and love called the villagers to begin again in beauty. Jesus taught, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." World-renowned Israeli-American violinist Itzhak Perlman survived childhood polio. He wears braces on both legs and walks with two crutches. As he appears on the stage, the audience applauds and continues to applaud as he makes his way somewhat laboriously to his seat, celebrating his triumph over what would have utterly undone a lesser person. Once at a concert in New York, the clapping subsided. The conductor raised his baton, and Itzhak Perlman began to play. A mere 3 or 4 bars into the piece, one of the strings on his violin snapped with a report like gunfire. It would have been entirely reasonable to stop the music, replace the string, and begin again. But that's not what he did. After a heartbeat's pause, he and the conductor continued. The piece was written to feature violin. There were many solo passages, and Itzhak Perlman had only 3 strings now on which to play. In some cases, he filled in the missing notes on adjoining strings. In other cases, when that wasn't possible, he rearranged the music on the spot, improvising the master's work with artistry and passion. He never missed a beat, rewriting the symphony right through to the end. When he finally rested his bow, the audience sat for a moment in stunned silence. And then they rose to their feet and cheered wildly at the extraordinary display of ingenuity and skill, a virtuosic tour de force. Itzhak Perlman raised his bow to signal for quiet. "You know," he said, "sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much beautiful music you can still make with what you have left." What do we have left? Those who loved Jesus believe that they saw him after his death. Have you ever had that experience of thinking you've spotted someone who's died? I have it all the time. I'm rounding the corner, and just ahead, there they are. Instantly, my heart floods with joy, and then, almost as quickly, I know it isn't true. I've mistaken them for someone else. Grief can make us a little crazy, off balance, like we've lost a limb, undone with longing or regret, or the feeling that if we start crying, we may never stop, that we will never be happy again. But Easter comes to remind us that the story doesn't end with Jesus's broken body. The story doesn't end with death. The story ends exactly as it began, with a miracle. And the next chapter is about life. The next chapter is up to us. This is what we mean when we say resurrection. Our dead live on in us. Beloved spiritual companions, Easter comes to remind us not of despair, but of a miracle. Easter comes to remind us not of death, but of life. Ready or not, we are called to this early Easter, this awakening and tending the fire of our divine calling. What do we have left? Love. 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 Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we deeply experience that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to one another and to every living being. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. I love you. Happy Easter. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.